children. A tall one and a small one. Can you come a little closer so I don't feel as awkward? Well, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Did either of you get any gifts in boxes? You did? Bags? You got gifts. Don't make them think I don't give you gifts. This one's mine. Okay, so you got some gifts, right? Did you get anything that you didn't know you were getting? That you didn't expect? Yeah? Do you remember what it was?
I got some puzzles.
Some puzzles.
And Legos.
And Legos. That's awesome. She got Legos too. Yeah. Anything you didn't expect? You did not expect the Legos. No. Okay. I got a ukulele, which I expected because my daughter included me in a text between her and her dad before Christmas. But then I also got a wonderful piece of artwork that my husband made that I totally didn't expect. So that I also got things I knew about and that I didn't know about. Okay, so I have this box here. What do you think is in here?
A truck?
Garbage truck. It's a little more Jesus-y than that.
Like Jesus?
Yeah, oh, well, it has to do with the story we heard today. And do you shake your gifts?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my son does that. Do you know what he did this year? He took it up a notch. He looked up how much something he wanted weighed, and he went and weighed the box that he thought it was. So you can keep that in your pocket for another Christmas. He was right, by the way, too. But okay, so let's open it. What is that?
A can.
It's a can. It's the offering can and some papers. You win for being excited. So have you seen this offering can before? Yeah, there's some envelopes in there. So we can keep track of what's the kids' offering. So when the wise men came, do you remember what they brought? Do you know that part of the story? They didn't bring garbage trucks. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Did you get any of that?
No.
No, me neither. I'm kind of glad. So, but they brought gifts, but they were an offering. And this is the offering can for kids because the gifts they brought, they were not expecting anything in return. They brought them to be used and given as God needed them. And so when we have this offering can, this in Epiphany, the money that comes here is going to go to the kids in El Paso at Cristo Rey that our older youth met this summer. And we are going to use that to buy books for them. And they haven't asked for that, but we know that books are something that they need and like to get. And so we will do that. Or you can bring a book and put it in the box. Okay, so the can's going to stay here, but the middle school youth are also doing, they are collecting diapers. So why don't you take this with you as a reminder, because we're also going to collect diapers for families that need them. Okay, all right, so let's pray. God, thank you for all the gifts that you offer in our lives. Be in our hearts to show those gifts and share them with others. Amen. Okay, well, thank you for coming. You're in the story. Yeah. Okay. Well, today we are celebrating Epiphany, this last day of Christmas and the first day of entering into that post-holiday world. Teachers will go back to schools tomorrow, and the children will follow the day after. The tree here and the poinsettias, please take one when you go. And all the decorations will be promptly taken down after this service. And there will be a sense of that getting back to normal, whatever, or routine, whatever that might mean in your life. And for some, that's a big relief. And for others, I know in particular some college students, they aren't that happy about it, about leaving the holidays and going back to school. It is a day of transition, and we have lots of days and moments of transitions in our lives. But this day is one that's part of our liturgical church year. It's a day that we can really pause and consider what that transition is for us now. It's a moment in time where we can see backwards over the and forwards at the same time. Backwards over a season that was filled with expectation. Some of them were met and some of them were not. And forwards into a new year that is also full of expectations. Some that we will see come to fruition and some that we will not. And this is where our scripture, our story meets us today, in this place of transition. Transition for the wise men, for Jesus and his family, for King Herod, for the political and social and religious world of the time. This time and place here holds the terror and tension that was real for the people in that place and in that time. Herod is living in fear of his power, his crown being diminished, things being lost. He gets the wise men to find Jesus by lying to them, saying he wants to pay homage to this new child, and this sets forth the events to come in the next chapter, which we actually heard about last week, where children are killed and Jesus and his family escape. And yet, where Herod has filled his world with fear, the wise men, the magi, arrive and are instead overcome with wonder and joy. This group of travelers, which have very often been depicted as three men, which probably comes from the gifts, and were probably not actually just three people. Notice the scripture doesn't say that part. But they more likely would have been a group of people who originated in Persia, and they were followers of a belief system called Zoroastrianism, and they would have included, it would have included women and men followers and traveling together. And they travel because they are guided to do so. They travel to bring their treasure and to bring their gifts. And these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh have had a lot of speculation around them about, we really want them each to mean something in particular or have some kind of use. And there are really some great cartoons that come and memes that come out of this story about these gifts. There's one where Mary and Joseph are together and they say, oh, good, there's a gift receipt for the myrrh. there's been all kinds of ones about the women bringing things like food and blankets and diapers after the men go. But there was a new one this year I hadn't seen before where Jesus is not interested in his gifts, just liked the boxes. So, you know, playing as he would have, because he would have been about a toddler age. And so what is really actually important about these gifts is not so much what they were, but how they were given and how they were received. The group of magi didn't bring the gifts with strings attached or expectations of a gift in return. And Mary and Joseph certainly didn't expect these gifts and would not have had anything of equal value to exchange or hand back to them. These gifts were just that. They were free gifts, a sign and a wonder of more to come from this God who is full of the free gift of grace. And there's more that happens when the Magi arrive. There's a shift, and they are also a part of something they did not expect. When they arrive and come into the presence of the child, they are described as being filled with joy. And they kneel, and they pay homage to God. And this is not just a moment of awe. It is one, a moment of gentle kneeling. But there is a deeper meaning there. The Greek word used to describe their actions is proskuneo and means to bow down to another. But it also carries with it a sense of bowing down to political powers, a sense of being in the presence of what you are going to commit your life to, submit your life to. So this was also an act of fierceness. It was an act of turning away from the worldly powers that Herod represented and turning towards God. And in this moment, the Magi, in their wonder, become part of this bigger story, a part of God's story, and the promise of new life is brought to all the nations. It is brought beyond the one where Jesus is born, beyond the people of Israel, and becomes a promise to the world. This action tells the deeper story that the homage that they bring is not to the world and not to the powers that sent them on this journey. They look back in awe on the child and they turn their loyalties to God. And because they are given this dream, they leave on a different way, thereby protecting Jesus. They brought gifts and expectations, and they were in turn given a gift they didn't expect, this greater gift of being brought into the joy of God with us. Matthew writes about this time and in his own time also. They are both times that have tension and fear around them, not unlike our own times. We can look backward and forward and wonder, where is that star that's going to guide us? Where are the gifts and the expectations that we need, that the world needs? What hopes for our lives, for our children and grandchildren, for our neighbors and friends, for countries around the world? What ones will be met? What ones will not? And when Matthew wrote this story, and when Jesus was with us, it was also a time of wonder and worship, not unlike our own time. The gift given to the Magi that day is an unexpected gift that is present and real for us as well. God is still here. God is still speaking. God is still filling the world and coming again and again. God is still giving gifts that we often recognize and know are for sure when we look backwards. But we are also free to fully see and believe that those gifts are there as we look forward. The call is for us to pay homage, to bring our gifts freely to God and live in this world in a way that rejects the worldly powers of fear and destruction and embraces the love and grace and the gifts freely given by God. We don't have to have a certain star or know the exact path, because through the birth of Jesus, we have been given this promise already. Epiphany, that word means a showing up and also a showing out. God has shown up and will continue to do so. And this is our gift. And as any good gift, we are moved to show out, to let this story be revealed in us, in our time and place, so that the mercy and love and gifts of God can be shown forth in our days to come. Amen.